Our reading from James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Wow, we're just 6 days in and you're already kind of less than excited. Thanks, Ralph. If y'all missed it, Ralph said tax time. It's going to get above freezing today? Yeah. So, you know, let's be a little more excited. This morning I'm going to read again. We did a couple weeks ago. I enjoyed last week. I appreciate Carl filling in. I was at Crescent and enjoyed very much being with them. It's kind of good to have everybody back. We've had kind of a different schedule the last couple of weeks. It's good to be back. You remember, I think it was a little book written, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Remember that? And I was listening to an interview the other day with Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is probably best known for his company, Berkshire Hathaway. They own Geico. So you're familiar with the little Geico man. They own that. And one of my favorite things, they own See's Candies. You familiar with See's Candies? Oh, man, they can make some toffee and peanut brittle that's out of this world. But he said something I thought was really interesting. He said, you really don't have to be really smart to do what I do. And he wasn't being ugly. He said, I just do the same things over and over. And he says, when it comes to investing, he said, I'm just patient. And he said, I just wait for a fat pitch to come across the plate, and I hit it. He said, I know what I like, and I wait for that. He said, I don't go chasing things. I just wait for the right thing to come along. He said, you know, it's not about being the smartest. It's just about doing the things you know to do. And so as I was thinking about starting the new year, I said, you know, that's true. And I'll hear folks often talk about, let's get deeper in the Word. And I'm all for maturing in the Word. But here's the struggle that I have. And I bet it's the struggle you have. And it's the struggle most of the people that I know and talk with and deal with have. It's not about understanding the deeper things. It's about practicing the fundamentals. Is that not true? And sometimes we want to get deeper because we've almost given up on the fundamentals. So it's almost like, let's get deeper and see if we can find something that's different or easier or better, or we'll just satisfy ourselves with a greater knowledge. But it's about doing what God has called us to do. And it's not difficult conceptually. It's difficult to implement. It's difficult to discipline ourselves and have the faith to trust in God to do the things that He's asked us to do. Would y'all agree with that? Anything about that? That's what I find tough. It's just doing the things I know to do. And so I want us to read today Jesus' sermon. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Here's where Jesus sets the people down and He begins to preach to them about what they should do. You remember we talked about Jesus coming in the flesh. You remember I told the little story about the birds in the barnyard. Remember that story about the man said, if I could just become a bird, then I could show them how to get into the barn where it's warm and safe. So Jesus comes as a man to show us how to live. And so Matthew records for us, this is the longest discourse we have of Jesus. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus starts teaching us how God would have us to live. And this is not pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. It's about how we should live today. Okay? Because sometimes we can make that, well, that's how things will be when it's over. No, this is what Jesus called us to today. This is how we ought to live. And so I just want to read, and I'm going to make very few comments. I may emphasize a few things. I may stop for a moment and just let us think about something. But I want to see Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and all of us think about, how do I apply this to life? How do I apply this to life? Because this is about how the Lord has called us to live. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up to a mountainside and He sat down. His disciples came to Him and He began to teach them. And He said, now, there's more people here than the apostles, okay? These are the disciples. These are people who are following Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You, speaking to His disciples, kind of a parallel here to the salt, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I want us to think about this reading for just a second. We've been called to be salt and light. And we sing the little song, this little Christian light of mine, right? Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't hide it under a bushel. But you and I have been called to be salt and light. So if we're not letting our light shine, are we doing what God has called us to do? If we're not acting like salt, Jesus is saying we've lost any value. The reason I say it is not enough. God has not called us to just be Christians inside. Does that begin to make sense? Start to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I've been baptized. I'm trying to do what's right. And I'm going to just mind my own business over here in the corner and not shine at all. Now, not all of us are going to be out front. The Scripture talks of that. It says it's fine to lead quiet lives, mind your own business, but to do what? To live in such a way that other people see the light of Jesus, right? That's important. Do not think I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and of the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, and your adversary may hand you over, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right eye causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it is said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. That's tough right there, isn't it, guys? Let's go back, Mike, and I'm going to read that again. A little bit more. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? I wish we'd translate that a little differently. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Don't move that one. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into the room, into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. We'll read that. Pay attention to this one. Do not worry, and I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we put on? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I'm going to read that one again, because I'm going to tell you, I think we all struggle with this one right here. This one is tough. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do not pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we did not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's go back. Who's like the wise man? Another song we sing, right? But it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Right? That's where we started this, wasn't it? It's not about deeper and deeper, although, again, I'm not knocking, we ought to mature in the Word. It's about putting into practice the words that we know, the teachings of Jesus. It's about doing them. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. He who seeks, find. He who knocks, the door who will be opened. He who asks, receives. Jesus came that we might have redemption and eternal life. And it's about seeking God. It's about putting into practice these words that we hear. Because, hey, these are the words of life. These are the words of life. They're not just ancient words that are no longer applicable. But they are words that are just as true today as they have ever been. And they're just as much what God wants us to do. And I think they're just as difficult as they've ever been, but I'm not sure more difficult. I'm not sure more difficult. And the reason I share that with you, and I'm going to close, is I think it's always been difficult to walk in the steps of Jesus. Now, our times are different, and I understand that. But sometimes we think, well, it's never been as hard as it is now. Like, we just had a cold spell. Some folks will say, that's the coldest spell I can ever remember. It ain't never been cold like that before. Well, it has, and if we live very long, it'll be cold like that again, right? You know, it's not that unusual. Now, we've been through some winters where we didn't have that, but as a general rule, we're going to have some cold spells. It'd be all right with me if it's behind us. Although, I'll be honest with you, not having mud, and I'm thankful my water's running. Which, if you're having trouble with water, this is no fun. But if the water's running, the ground is frozen, we're not slopping mud, you know, I hate mud. So I've not been all that upset, but I'm glad to see it warming up today. I'm glad to see that warming up. But we'll have cold spells again, or maybe not. Maybe we're through. I mean, it might be mild the rest of the winter. We really don't know. But the next time it gets cold, guess what? We'll have forgotten this cold spell. The next one will be the worst one that we've seen. We think we're living in the worst times there's ever been. We're not. Times are tough because Satan is active, right? But Satan has always been active. It's always been difficult to follow the steps of Jesus. And so it's about reading these words and putting them into practice. It's about being the light of the world. It's about turning the other cheek. It's about praying for others. It's about bearing persecutions. It's about just walking every day for God. It's about doing to others as we'd have them do to us. That sums the law and the prophets up, Jesus said. It's just about daily doing those things. We're going to be imperfect. But it's about picking up the next day and saying, I'm going to do better. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to do better. And it's about seeking God. You know, I think it's very difficult to do. I think it's impossible to do on our own. I think it's only possible when we're prayerful and committed, when we're seeking God and asking God to help us. That's the only way we do it, is to daily seek it and to daily be about God's business and ask God to bless us. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God, because it's God who gives wisdom, right? We need to be seeking and asking and knocking so that God fills us and we become what God wants us to be. Jesus died on the cross because all of us need forgiveness. That's why we need to be forgiving. And Jesus was forgiving of those who put him on the cross. You remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God forgives us and calls us to live lives in his service. If you need to come, would you do that while we stand and sing?